There are so many people here tonight. I appreciate your faithfulness. I really, really do. And we're going to be in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. I'm hoping to get you out before the race lets out and so you can get home. I hope it works out. I really do. 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. And we are back here in the book of 1 Corinthians again. We're going through the book. And the subject in this chapter is the resurrection of Christ and the resurrection of believers. If you look down at verse 12, it kind of states the problem that Paul's dealing with. It says in verse 12, "Now if Christ be preached that he rose from the dead, how say some among you that there is no resurrection of the dead?" So there were people in the church saying there's no resurrection. Paul begins this chapter by reminding them of the gospel that he preached and that they had believed and received. And it was Christ died for our sins and he rose again the third day. Then, beginning there, remember last week we started there in verse 5, and it says that he was seen of Cephas, then of the 12. After that, he was seen above 500 brethren at once. Verse 7, after that, he was seen of James, then of all the apostles. And then we come here to verse number 8, and we did not cover this verse. It says, "And last of all, he was seen of me also, as of one born out of due time." Now, the Lord Jesus Christ, we know, did appear to Paul. All right, he did not appear to Paul in the 40-day window after his resurrection. We know that Christ appeared to Paul from heaven. He saved the Apostle Paul, and he gave to Paul a very special message and a special apostleship to the church and to the body of Christ. You know, Paul talks over and over about how he's an apostle to the Gentiles. "I magnify mine office," he said. Paul was given the office of Gentile apostleship. And over he reiterates that. So Christ saves Paul, and he appears to Paul, saves Paul, then gives him this special office of Gentile apostleship and this special message. And Paul teaches us here in verses 8, 9, 10, and 11 some very special things here and some incredible truths about his apostleship. And it's very vital, very important that every member of the body of Christ understand the truths that Paul's going to share with us here. And the first thing that I want to share with you tonight is this, is that Paul was an apostle that was born out of due time. Now, you say, what in the world is that talking about? Well, we're going to wade through this tonight, and it's going to really be a blessing to you, I think, if you'll really focus tonight on this. Paul experienced a spiritual rebirth on the road to Damascus. We know that he was on the road to Damascus. He was going to jail and arrest Christians. And we know that Christ appeared to Paul, and we know that Paul was saved that day. We know that Paul received the Spirit of God that day. The Holy Spirit entered into him, regenerated him, and he was a new man. Now, is that true of every believer today? Yes or no? Are we all regenerated the moment that we believe on Christ? Look with me and keep your bookmarker here and go over to Titus chapter number 3. Titus 3, and let's look down here at verse number 4. Titus 3, verse 4. It says here, Titus chapter 3 and verse number 4. It says, "But after that the kindness and the love of God our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy," He what, church? He saved us. Good. But now notice this. How did He do it? By the washing of what? Boy, that's a big word. Regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. So, regeneration, what is that? Regeneration is when your dead spirit that did not have the life of God, your spirit was devoid of the life of God. It was dead, the Bible says, in trespasses and sins. And regeneration is when your dead spirit is given the life of God. You are being born of God's life. Ephesians 2:1 uses the word quicken. It says, "And you who were dead, and you hath He quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins." So before we were saved, what were we? We were what? Dead in trespasses and sins. But after we're saved, the moment we're saved, He uses the word quickened. And that word quicken means to make alive. It means to regenerate. It means that your dead spirit now has the life of God breathed into it. Now, here's my question. What did Jesus instruct the 12? Not Paul now. What did he instruct the 12 concerning this thing of regeneration, this thing of the giving of life? I want you to go with me over to Matthew 19 and let me show you what he told the 12 when Jesus walked the earth. I think you'll find this interesting. Matthew 19, and we're going to go down here at the end of the chapter. Matthew 19, verse 27. Matthew 19, verse 27. All right, look at it with me. Then answered Peter and said unto him, Behold, we've forsaken all and followed thee. What shall we have therefore? He said, we've forsaken all, followed you, Jesus. Now what's in it for us? Don't you love Peter? Amen. Verse 28. And Jesus said unto them, to the 12, Verily I say unto you that ye which have followed me, notice this, in the regeneration, so when is that? When the Son of Man shall sit in the throne of His glory, ye also shall sit upon 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. He told them that the regeneration would be when Christ would return to the earth and He would rule and reign on the throne of His glory. Go over to Matthew 25 and I'll show you this again. Matthew 25. Have we got a chart up there tonight? Okay, good. You don't bring it up yet. Not yet, but we're going to go to that in just a second. And I'm going to show you what we're talking about here. Matthew 25, 31. Notice that it says there, Matthew 25, 31. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory and all the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. Now, if you've been here on Wednesday nights, if you'll bring up the chart, the basic timeline that we refer to often, and this is a very important timeline, we've been teaching on Wednesday nights about this event. What's it called? Rapture. The rapture is the catching up of us, the church, the body of Christ. Now, Christ in this passage is talking about this event, which is called the what? Revelation. And He's coming down to where? Down to the earth. And He comes down here to the earth at the revelation, sits in the throne of His glory. And He says that the 12 apostles are going to sit. He's going to sit on a throne right here to establish His kingdom on earth. And then the 12 are also going to sit on 12 thrones. And they're going to be judging the 12 tribes of the nation of Israel. When Christ's kingdom comes to this earth at the revelation, when He comes back down to the earth, notice that He calls this time period right here the regeneration. Remember, regeneration means the impartation of life. It's the giving of life. Now, here's my question. Did you know that when Christ comes back at the second coming to the earth, did you know that there is going to be a rebirth of the nation of Israel that's going to take place? God is going to once again, He's going to breathe life into the nation of Israel because God had pronounced them dead because of their idolatry, because of chasing after false God. God said they're dead. Take your Bible, and I taught through this book a couple years ago, and I hope you can find it, Hosea. Go back to the prophet Hosea, okay? And it's after Daniel, after the book of Daniel, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea. Go to Hosea chapter 13, if you would. Hosea 13. Okay, and I'll give you a second to find that. We taught through the book of Hosea. By the way, that's online if you ever want to go and listen to this. It's a fascinating book, the book of Hosea. I mean, just in the first chapter alone, it's fascinating. Any time that a prophet is told by God to go marry a prostitute by the name of Gomer, you know it's going to be interesting. Amen. And we dealt with this book where he goes and marries a prostitute named Gomer. And in Hosea 13, notice with me verse 1. It says, When Ephraim, that's Israel, spake trembling, he exalteth himself in Israel. But notice, when he offended in Baal, he what? Died. When Israel offended in Baal, when they went chasing after the false god Baal, God said, you died. You're dead. You're spiritually dead, devoid of the life of God. But if you look down there at verse 9, He says there in Hosea 13, verse 9, O Israel, thou hast destroyed thyself. But he said, in me is thine help. And he goes on down in verse 13 and talks about the sorrows of a travailing woman will come upon him. He's an unwise son, for he should not stay long in the place of the breaking forth of children. And I notice God said, I'm going to ransom them, Israel, from the power of the grave. I'll redeem them from death. O death, I will be thy plagues. O grave, I will be thy destruction. Repentance shall be hid from mine eyes. So what is this thing? Okay, go back a couple books to Ezekiel. Ezekiel's a big book before Daniel. Ezekiel 37. Okay, go back to Ezekiel 37 and look at this passage with me. He gives here the analogy of a valley of dry bones, just old dead dry bones, okay? And if you look, let's see, let's begin reading here verse 4. Again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause what? Breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Now, what is this all about? He tells you what it means over in verse number, let's go over to verse number 11. He explains the vision. Verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. So those bones, those dry bones, those dead bones represent Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We're cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves, and I will cause you to come out of your graves, and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, when I have opened your graves, O my people, and have brought you up out of your graves. Look at this, verse 14. God said he's going to put his what in them? His spirit. And ye shall what? Live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. Man, I wish I had time to look at all the verses. Go over to Isaiah. Go back again a few books. Go to the left. Isaiah 26. And Isaiah 26. Notice this rebirth. He says, take the dry bones and I'm going to breathe life into them. I'm going to give them a rebirth. Look at Isaiah 26 and notice with me verse 16. Isaiah 26 verse 16. He says, Lord, in trouble have they visited thee. They poured out a prayer. Notice when thy chastening was upon them. He's talking about Israel. Like as a woman with child that draweth near the time of her delivery is in pain and crieth out in her pangs, so have we been in thy sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not wrought any deliverance in the earth, neither have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Now look at verse 19. Thy dead men, notice, shall what? Live. Together with my dead body shall they arise. Awake and sing, ye that dwell in dust, for thy dew is as the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. There is going to be a rebirth. Listen, a nation is going to be reborn with spiritual life. They will be regenerated. Now, go over to Isaiah 66, Isaiah chapter 66, and look with me at verse 8. Isaiah 66, verse 8. He says here, who hath heard such a thing? Who hath seen such things? Shall the earth be made to bring forth in one day? Look at this. Or shall a nation be what? Born at once? For as soon as Zion travailed, Israel, she brought forth her children. Verse 9, shall I bring to the birth and not cause to bring forth, saith the Lord? Shall I cause to bring forth and shut the womb, saith thy God? Look, folks, this is what Jesus was talking about in John 3 with Nicodemus. Nicodemus was a ruler of Israel. And he said, you're a ruler in Israel and you don't know these things? He should have known these things. When Jesus talked about being born again, he's saying to Nicodemus, a ruler of Israel, look, man, you got a birth from Abraham, but you need another birth. You need a spiritual birth. And then he says to him, y'all know this verse, right? Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. But you know what's interesting about that verse? What's interesting about that verse is something that you really can't get unless you have the King James Version of the Bible. Because in the English, in the Old English, they had a separate word for the second person singular and the second person plural. Whereas we just have you, they had, marvel not that I say unto thee, he tells Nicodemus, thee is the second person singular pronoun. I'm talking to you, Nicodemus. Marvel not that I say unto thee, but then what's the next word? Ye. That is the second person plural. He's speaking of a group now. He says, marvel not that I say unto thee, singular, ye, the nation of Israel, a group, must be born again. He's speaking of the nation of Israel, and that's what we see in Isaiah 66. He says that a nation is going to be born in a day. Listen, bring back up the chart. A regenerated nation is going to go into that kingdom. A regenerated nation who has had the life of God breathed into them. That's why he calls this, Jesus, the regeneration. Because literally there will be a nation, the believing remnant of Israel at the end here of the tribulation, they are going to go into the kingdom and God is going to breathe his life into them. And by the way, this is just a side note. I was thinking about this today and it blessed my heart. And, you know, sometimes something blesses my heart and you guys just kind of go. But, you know, hopefully this will bless your heart too, okay? Is that the first time that Israel went into the land. I was thinking about this today. The first time they went into the land, what happened? They passed through the Red Sea miraculously, and the Bible says that Israel as a nation was born and they were given life as they passed through that Red Sea. A nation was born that day. Well, we know they went into apostasy, and we know that they were pronounced dead, but then when a remnant went back into the land after they'd been in captivity, a remnant goes back into the land, and what happens? A Messiah is miraculously born. Well, they reject him, but now the third time right here, the third time that Israel goes into the land, they are going to be reborn. They're going to be given new life. So they're born back here when they cross the Red Sea. Then they're pronounced dead, okay, because of apostasy. So now the second time they come into the land, a Messiah is born. Not a nation, but a Messiah is born. And now because the Messiah is born, and because of his resurrection, now he can impart new life to them. They're given another chance. And so now a third time they'll go into that land. And this time a nation will be reborn. First time the nation is born. Second time they go into the land, a Messiah is born. The third time they go into the land, a nation will be reborn. Now didn't that bless your heart? Amen. Well, three of you anyway. All right. Blessed me when I thought about that today. I thought, man, that is cool. You know, and the only reason why they're allowed to go into the land again, and the only reason why they're allowed to be reborn and to be born again, the only reason why that nation can be born again here is because of what happened here and through the resurrection, the Messiah being born, dying. They rejected him, but what did he do 3 days later? He what? Rose again. So now he can give them that resurrection life and they can be reborn the third time they go into the land. And that's what Isaiah 66 is talking about. In the time of the regeneration, right here, in the time of the regeneration, when Israel's born again, God is going to fully execute all the provisions of the new covenant that he secured through his cross work. Go with me to Ezekiel again. We were just there. Go to Ezekiel 36. Notice that this, in fact, I'm not going to take the time, I don't think, to do this. But Ezekiel 36, God tells Israel what he's going to do for them when they're born again, when they're regenerated. And this is reconfirmed in the New Testament in Hebrews chapter 8. But anyway, let's not go to Hebrews 8. Let's just go to Ezekiel 36 and look at verse 24. For I will take you from among the heathen and gather you out of all countries. Notice this. I'm going to bring you into your own land. God's going to take them into the land again. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. And then notice this. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new, what is that? Spirit. See, they're going to be born again. They're going to get a new spirit. Remember, he said it's not enough to just be born of water. That is, of your mother and the water. He says you've got to be born of the Spirit. See, and they're going to be born of the Spirit. And notice he says, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh, and I'll put my Spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, he said, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave your fathers. You shall be my people. I'll be your God, and I'll save you from all your uncleannesses. I'll call for the corn, and I'll increase it, and lay no famine upon you. I'm going to multiply the fruit of the tree and the increase of the field. Now let me real quickly just tell you, when this time of the regeneration comes, right here, he calls it the regeneration, when Christ comes and sits in the throne of his glory, in the time of the regeneration, Israel was going to be gathered from all nations, and they're going to be put into their land. God is going to completely cleanse them from all their sin. God is going to put His Spirit in them and cause them to walk in His statutes. That's part of the new covenant, is the giving of this spiritual life. They're going to dwell in their land here with a physical fruitfulness when they do that. Now, this is not the regeneration program that you and I are part of, are we? This is the regeneration program right here for the nation of Israel. Is God going to keep His promises to them? Yes or no? Yes, He is. The time of the regeneration, the giving of life to that nation, is going to come. The due time, if you will, the due time regeneration program called for God's wrath to be poured out upon all of Christ's enemies. And then Christ would return, He would deliver the nation of Israel, He would save them, He would regenerate that believing remnant of Israel. That's the due time regeneration program that Christ revealed. Now, here we go. Let's go back though a minute. Paul said, I'm an apostle born out of due time. The Apostle Paul, along about here in Acts chapter 9, he's out there persecuting Christians. He's out there the enemy of Christ. Christ appears to him, but he doesn't destroy him. But rather he saves him by his grace. And when Christ appeared to Paul on that Damascus road, it wasn't for the purpose of bringing in this kingdom regeneration program. But rather, Christ suspended the kingdom program and he revealed to Paul the mystery of the body of Christ. That, go to Colossians chapter 1 while I'm talking here, and that'll save some time. Colossians now in the New Testament, chapter 1. I'm getting to this thing of an apostle born out of due time. You see, in order for you to understand that phrase, born out of due time, you got to understand what the due time regeneration program was. So up to this point, I have shared with you what the due time regeneration program called for. And that's right here. When Christ would return and He would breathe life into the nation of Israel and He would fully implement the provisions of the new covenant. They would have the life of God within them, the Spirit of God within them. They would be regenerated. That was the due time regeneration program. Now here's Paul. God saves Paul, suspends this program, okay? And he reveals to Paul a new program that he had hidden in himself from the foundation of the world. Look with me at Colossians 1 and verse number 26. He says, "Even the mystery which hath been hid from ages and from generations, but now is made manifest to his saints, to whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles." Notice, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Look up here. This new program called the mystery, it was unrevealed until Paul. This new program, which is where we're living right in here, he calls it the mystery. You see, this program in here, it's not dealing over here with Israel's rebirth, but rather the rebirth of individuals, Jews or Gentiles. And as individuals believe on Christ, they receive the life of God. And then as they receive the life of God, what happens is you are part of a new agency that God's forming today called the body of Christ. The moment that you trusted Christ as your Savior, you received the Spirit of God. You were regenerated. You were given life. You were born again, if you want to call it that, that's fine. But you were regenerated. You were quickened. You were made alive. You were given a birth that came from God Almighty. And if you've been given the life of God, and I've been given the life of God, we've been placed in the body of Christ, this new agency that God's forming today. Now look, that's not what was due up next. Prophecy, listen, when this happens, the cross and the resurrection and the ascension, prophecy called for the wrath of God. We've been through these things lately. Prophecy called for this. It called for the wrath of God against His enemies. And then the regeneration program for the nation of Israel, what Jesus called the regeneration, that time when He'd sit on the throne of His glory and Israel would be regenerated. That's why Paul says he was an apostle born out of due time. It was an untimely, Paul's birth, his receiving of God's Spirit and being born into the family of God. It was an untimely birth. It was a premature birth. He was regenerated, but not through the national rebirth of Israel, but rather through the individual intervention and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul said that he was a pattern to all those who would believe on Christ after him. All of us were the enemies of God. All of us deserved the wrath and the judgment of God, as we talked about this morning. But we've received grace. We've received life. Did we receive life? Now hear me. Did we get our life? Did we receive the life of God through the regeneration program of Israel? Yes or no? No, we didn't. You see, just like Paul, we were born out of or before the due time. We're born way back here. We received the life of God individually. And we're born before or out of the due time regeneration program that God had called for through the nation of Israel. Can I just tell you tonight, thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. Thank God for His grace. You know, when a Jewish person today believes on Christ, okay, they become a member of the body of Christ. The Bible says there's no Jew or Gentile in the body of Christ. A Jew's not on a different level or a different, you know, basis than us. When a Jew puts their faith in Christ, are they made part of the body of Christ? Yes or no? Do they get special privileges? Do we get special privileges? No. We're all one in Christ. There is no Jew or Gentile in the body of Christ. Now, when a Jew gets saved, do they get the life of God like you did right away? Yes, they do. They receive the life of God. The moment that they are saved, they are regenerated. They get the life of God. Do they receive the life of God through the regeneration program for the nation of Israel that's going to happen here? Is that how they get their life? Yes or no? No. They get their life like Paul did, just by individually receiving the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. When a Gentile believes today, a Gentile is anybody that's not a Jew, okay? When a Gentile today believes on the Lord Jesus Christ, we get the Holy Spirit. We are born, we're quickened, we're made alive. We get the life of God. We who were dead, now we're alive. Did we get our life through the regeneration program of Israel? Yes or no? We're like Paul. We're born out of due time. We're born before, prematurely before this regeneration program where God will come, He'll regenerate the nation of Israel, and then they will in turn be a blessing to all the Gentile nations. But yet, we don't get it that way. We receive it individually by accepting and believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the moment we do that, we receive the life of God. And I don't know about you, but I'm glad I've been born out of due time, aren't you? I'm glad that I've been born. I'm glad that God offered this time of the mystery, this time that was unrevealed until He showed Paul. I'm glad for this time of grace, where we as individuals, apart from this regeneration program over here, we could receive the life of God and be regenerated by the Spirit of God. Well, there's two more things back there in 1 Corinthians 15 about Paul's apostleship that I want you to see, but not tonight, okay? We're going to go ahead and go to the Lord in prayer and end it right there tonight. And we're going to, Lord willing, probably end just a little bit early tonight, so that we can get you out of here, hopefully not get into all the traffic tonight. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you, God, so much, Lord, for your word. And Lord, we just are so excited about this truth about Paul being born out of due time. And he's a pattern to those which should hereafter believe. Just as he was born out of that due time regeneration program, thank you that we too are born out of that due time. And Lord, thank you, God, that we can be born of you. We can receive your life. We can be regenerated just by simple faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you that we don't have to go through a nation. We don't have to go through religion. We don't have to go through a certain church. Thank you that we can get your life directly by putting our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. We love you, praise you, and thank you for this. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.